Good morning, and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your church bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Please refer to your bulletin for activities scheduled for this afternoon, and refer to the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled for this week and next Sunday. There will be a quarterly congregational business meeting 2 weeks from today on Sunday, June 6th, and this will directly follow the morning worship service, and we do encourage you to attend. Our scripture reading for the month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 100, verses 2 and 4. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Now I'd like to invite Pastor Tomlinson to come up and explain a new class at Bethel Church.
Starting on Sunday, June 6th, we're going to be looking at combining our two afternoon classes. Currently, there's a 3 to 4 and then a 4 to 5. Combining them into a single Christian apologetics class that runs from 3:30 to 4:30. The change in the schedules to help those that are coming from Pacific Hills to get here, get ready for the classes, as well as closing from the classes to the evening message, gives them time to whoever's giving the message as well to get ready for that activity. Now this new class, we're going to be calling Searching the Scriptures. And its purpose is to provide biblical answers to questions that people have raised about Christianity and the Bible. The class we expect to be is to be recorded and we'll place on the internet with the full notes 1 week after the class has taken place. The first question we'll be looking at is, did Jesus really claim to be God? We do have a list of other questions, but the goal is to get questions from the attendees, from the people of Bethel Baptist Church, as well as people that listen over the internet and other places, to send questions to us that we may address them. I also have some books that I've gotten some questions from, and we'll can also get questions from. New questions can be given to me directly, to Pastor, or emailed at our website at questions@bethelmorganhill.org. Looking forward to this new class. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. Let us begin our worship with hymn number 34, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Let us continue our worship with hymn number 37, How Great Thou Art.
Thank you.
Will you please stand as we sing hymn number 39, This Is My Father's World.
Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Please remain standing. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, our High Priest, and first and most with words of thanksgiving, because we are able to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus, not only here in the auditorium at Bethel Baptist Church, but also through the airways of KKMC and through the internet ministry and tape ministry and CD ministry. Lord, we are thankful that many people are listening and many are considering and being approached and confronted with the word of the living God. We only pray, Father, that in your grace and mercy, you will grant to people a heart to repentance. Father, we also are grateful for this nation. As I move away for 2 weeks and a half in South America, we learn to love home more, and how gracious that it is for me now, the home is America. And Lord, we miss our country, our customs, our way of life, our hours to eat, but most of anything else, we miss the discipline, we miss the fact that we have authorities who respect the law. Lord, what a gracious country you have raised more than 200 years ago. It is because those people who signed the Declaration of Independence, they have in their heart the seed of liberty from thy word. And even though many of them were not believers, they were very respectful of a living God. And so, Father, today we run out of that. We have people in the Congress who do not believe. We have people everywhere in positions of authority who are not believers, and therefore, they don't know what really the law really is. Lord, help us to preach the gospel, not to criticize them, not to put them down, but to preach the gospel so that a revival can cause people to believe, and eventually in years to come, America will return to the simplicity of the gospel, and to believe in what you said in your word. Lord, have mercy on our country. Now the people are challenging the very institution of Genesis chapter 2, marriage. And Lord, we can walk on the streets of America, we can jump up and down, and nothing is going to be done unless we pastors preach the gospel. Unless we stop talking about the doctrines here, the doctrines there, but we confront people with hell, damnation, and heaven until they'll come to believe. And Lord, more than anything else, until you grant them repentance, we will not see fruit. So, Father, we beg you, in your graciousness, grant people repentance so that they may see what is right and what is wrong. We thank you for our missionaries who are doing as well in other parts of the world. Fred and Carol Lewis in Omsk, Siberia, Russia. Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain. Eusebio and Maritza Perez in Malaga. David and Denise Rhodes in Papua New Guinea. Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala and Central America. And then the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy, the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, Daniel and Miriam Lacey in the Sport Ministry, and Martha and Jorge Poretti in the fields of the rehabilitation centers. The emphasis again, Lord, is to give Christ Jesus. I remember, Lord, when they asked me in the rehabilitation center, what is the remedy to drugs in psychology? And I said, I don't know, but I know what God can do. God can give you a new heart. And Lord, you can give a new heart to people today. I said, listen, and then life will be quite different. I thank you personally, Lord, for the people of Bethel who are very responsible and very touch and giving and provide for the ministry of the church so the others can benefit, other people that perhaps will never see. At the same time, Lord, I thank you, those who in Ohio and Baltimore and different parts of America are helping the ministry with their donations. Thank you, Lord. Perhaps we will never meet them. I do have the privilege that years back I met them, but perhaps our church will never meet them. But they have the same motivation. They want people to know you. Lord, thank you for the choir. When they praise God, they stir up my heart to preach about you. Thank you for Marilyn and her dedication as a volunteer to our church. Thank you for her family, her husband, a deacon of our church. Lord, I'm just so proud that this church is not my church, it's your church. With thanksgiving, Lord, I thank you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Genesis. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 1. We will be reading Genesis 1, verses 1 through 25. Would you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 25. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that they may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth." And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and the beast of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that you have mercifully brought us out of our rebellion and pollution and turned our hearts of stone to hearts of flesh, so we are able to believe your written word. We praise you as the creator when we see the order and beauty of your works. We thank you that you are our sovereign Lord, whose plan covers all events and destinies without exception. We depend on you for our moment-by-moment existence. Strengthen us that we may live lives of devotion and gratitude and loyalty toward you. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Again, we ask that you sustain him and Mrs. Otero in good health so that their ministry would continue. Bless Pastor as he comes to bring the truths from your word, which will never pass away. We pray for those listening here and on the radio and internet, and especially those who do not know you, that you would draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might be saved from the wrath to come. In his name we pray, amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. And I hope you hear about the 6-year-old girl that was sitting in her first grade classroom. The teacher wanted to explain evolution to the children. And the conversation went like this. The teacher said, "Tommy, do you see the tree outside?" And Tommy said, "Yes." Then the teacher said, "Tommy, do you see the grass outside?" And Tommy said, "Yes." Then the teacher said, "Tommy, do you see the sky outside?" And of course, Tommy looked on it and he said, "Yes." Then the teacher said, "Tommy, do you see God outside?" And the boy said, "No." Then the teacher said, "That's my point today. We can't see God because he isn't there. He doesn't exist." A little girl spoke up and wanted to ask little Tommy some questions and ask permission to the teacher. And the teacher agreed. And so the little girl said, "Tommy, do you see the tree outside?" And Tommy was getting a little bit upset. He said, "Yes, I saw it." And the little girl said, "Tommy, do you see the grass outside?" He said, "Yes, I see it." And the little girl said, "Do you see the sky outside?" "Yes, I told you I see it." "Well, Tommy, do you see the teacher?" "Say, yes, I see it." "So now, Tommy, think. Do you see her brain?" And the boy say, "No." And then the little girl said, "Then she must not have one." I thought that those British stories are excellent. That's what I like Oxford University. You go into it and your class on philosophy, you have all of these wonderful related things. You saw Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1 starts in this way, Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamin het-het ha-hadim, which is the best way you can say in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. This is the first sentence you learn when you are in a Hebrew class. Science and neuroscience are trying to figure out how we get here. But we believers know what the book of Genesis really says. God created us and put us here. Genesis 1:1, say Dr. Morris, is the foundational verse of the Bible. It's the most important verse of the entire Bible. It undoubtedly contains the first word ever written. In the beginning, God created. And since this is the openly statement of the Bible, these are surely the most widely read words ever written. You give a Bible to somebody, and the first thing they do, they open the Bible on page 1. And the first word people read is, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Is God a genius when he writes? It has often been pointed out that if a person really believes Genesis 1:1, he or she will not find it difficult to believe anything else recorded in the Bible. And it's surprisingly to me that some pastors even argue about Genesis 1:1. That is, if God really created all things, then he controls all things, and he can do all things, and he can change your stone heart into a fleshly heart. See, it's the key verse of the entire Bible. In the beginning, Bereshit, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so this morning, briefly, I'm just going to show you that word, in the beginning, God, I want to speak about God created. I want to speak on created in maybe 4 or 5 points as the time allowed me to show you how Christianity intelligently and with great foundation refutes anything else in the world. So number one, verse 1 refutes atheism because the universe was created by God. In the beginning, God created. In Hebrew reads Bereshit, in the beginning. That's the title of the book in Hebrew, Bereshit, in the beginning. Bara, he created. Who is he? Elohim. See, the Hebrew is more simple. So, in the beginning, he created, he is God, the heavens and the earth. That's what the Bible says. And not only the Bible say that, but people through history believe that. So, let's look on it. Let's look in Psalm 90 in verse 2. Moses believe it. Psalm 90 in verse 2. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And Moses, before he died, he writes Psalm 90. He's about over 100 years old. And he said this wonderful word. Actually, he was 120. And in verse 2, he said these words in Psalm 90. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou our God. Moses, the genius of the nation of Israel, the one who conducted the nation through the desert, the one who led the people out of Egypt, that powerful country, and bring them across the promised land, he believed in God. Now, one book before the book of Psalms is the book of Job. And in chapter 26, verse 13 and verse 14, Job tell us that he also believed God is the creator. Chapter 26 and verse 13 and verse 14. Look at what Job says. And it's very important because Job was a very intelligent man. And I want you to look in Job 26:1 first. The Bible said, but Job answered and said, Job was challenged about what he believed. And look at what he says, verse 13 and verse 14 about creation. By his spirit, he had garnished the heavens. Remember verse 2 that our brother read? His spirit was moving among the waters. By his spirit, he garnished the heaven. His hand hath formed the crooked serpent. Lo, these are parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him, by the thunder of his power, who can understand? Creation is nothing, he said, Job. You're talking about discussing creation. The power of God is the issue. Creation is nothing. The power of God. And you and I know it. Who took an unbeliever like you and me and make a believer of us. So look at the power of God. Solomon believed it. You are in Job. The next book is Psalm. The next book is Proverbs. And he wrote this in chapter 3 and in verse 19. Proverbs chapter 3 in verse 19. Look at what Solomon says. The Lord by wisdom have founded the earth, by understanding has established the heaven. Science is still looking how the earth is moving around and how the solar system is working. And surprisingly enough, the telescopes in the sky, they tell us about more solar systems and get more confused. And Solomon tells his son, here it is, the Lord by wisdom. He knew what he was doing. Do you know in all these years, never miss a synchronized moment on this earth? Isn't that amazing? By understanding, he established the heaven. Tomorrow morning will be another day. That's it. Never fail. Amazing. Now, this is the Old Testament, and some people will say, what I'm talking about giants, all right? Moses, a lawgiver. Job, the richest man on his earth at that moment. Solomon, the Bible said, the wisest man in this. What about the most genial philosopher of his century, Paul? He goes in Acts 17, if you can turn your Bible over there, and in verse 24 to 26, he argued with the Epicureans, and he argued with the Greek people, and he exposed the Greek people in questions. They bring him to the Areopagus, and some of you have visited that place, where they discuss and talk. And then, in Acts 17, verse 24 to 26, he gave them a remarkable understanding. Look at what he says. Paul is speaking. Verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein. No question. He doesn't even question who made the world. God who that made the world and all things therein, seeing that there is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. See, when people want to make images of God, and when they want, even these places that we meet, this is not the temple of God. God dwells in heaven and dwells in your heart. And so Paul understood that. Look at verse 25. Neither is worship with men's hand, as though he need anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath. And all things. It's not that more complicated. I was reading a book of philosophy from Oxford University, and the question was this. What are the two most important things in life? And the philosopher said, death and life. That's true. Why people die? Philosophy have no answer. And why people are born? Philosophy have no answer. Paul believed it. Not only Paul believed it, some unbelievers believe it. You are in Acts 17, look in verse 28. For in him we live, say Paul, and move, and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Now, Paul is rebuking the Greek people and said, some of your great men have acknowledged that we come from God and not from a monkey. Wow. And he got no refute. Some believe, some don't believe, but he got not reply because he said, some of your poet have written, and this is the year 41, 42, 45, and he said, on the first century, year 45, and Paul is saying, some of your people wrote that we do not come from anything else than from God. So first and most, verse 1 in Genesis 1, in the beginning God refutes atheism because the universe was created by God. Moses believed it. Job believed it. Solomon believed it. Paul believed it. The Greek philosopher believers. Now, here is the key. From Moses to Paul, there are 1,600 years. Wow. Wow, 1,600 years. You know, in America, things change. They used to change century by century. Now they change day by day. America is confused how to get married today. Who knows what's going to be confused tomorrow? But, you know, the Bible, in a span of 1,600 years, there was a consistent belief that there is a creator, and the name of that creator is Bara Bereshit Elohim, God. The Bible in Genesis 1:1 refutes atheism because the universe was created by God. Verse 1 refutes pantheism, for God is transcendent to which he created. Some people, they say, well, I cannot see God. How can I create God? Are you blind? Unknown to us, we do not create it, but there is a birth sanctuary between trailer one and trailer two. I mean, you walk in the morning and hundreds of birds go, zee! Like, you know. I mean, who gave them? I watched the other day for 10 minutes. I said, some of these people will crash. How did they fly between two walls? How did they go through the light? How did they do this? Unbelievable. And they go right to the tree. And in Spanish, those birds will be a brown with a red head, will be a jilguero. And so I go after them. I don't know how to sing, but I said, as you see, they listen to me. They don't listen to me. Who knows what they think about me? But I look on it. And they go to this branch and they go to the next branch. And I look to the tree. And nothing happened to the tree. Amazing. Verse 1 said that God created and refused pantheism, for God is transcendent. Have you not seen God yet? Turn your Bible to Romans chapter 1 in the New Testament and verse 20. Look at what the Bible says. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. The apostle is speaking to the church of Rome. And in verse 20, the apostle said, for the invisible things of him, him is God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Look at the vocabulary. Are clearly seen. We don't have to go through an experiment and mathematical equation to see God. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. It's amazing. Amazing what God has done. Pantheism doesn't relate to God because it's a God is abstract. But the Bible says, no, God is not abstract. God relates to you, and you can see God every second of your life. Verse 1 refutes atheism because God created the universe. Verse 1 refutes pantheism, for God is transcendent, and what he has created, you can see it. Verse 1 refutes humanism, because God was alone when he created. Doesn't need the help of any man. Look at verse 1 again in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 clearly says, Bereshit, in the beginning, bara, he created Elohim. No, a man and God, God alone. God alone created. Now, for those who are scholars and want to argue about Elohim, being ending in M is like in your language, when in Hebrew you write an M, remember Hebrew is right to left. And when you write, which makes more sense to me, isn't it not easy, right to left? And when you put an M like this at the end, it's like you put an S to make a plural. So people will read verse 1, those who are scholars, and said, in the beginning, God's created. But it's a unison God, I call it. Move your eyes in Genesis 1 to verse 26 and verse 27. And God said, now get complicated here, let us make man in our image. So I told you that God was alone, but don't look like it, because here verse 26 says, let us, like talking to other people, let's make man in our image, in our likeness. And look at verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female he created. Who was he talking to? Man was not created according to verse 26 and 27. He said, let us create man. So man was not there. Human being was not there, but he's talking to somebody. You know, got my attention. The answer of this is found in the Gospel of Matthew. You always be good if you hold this simple, simple first grade principle. The Old Testament is explained in the New Testament. And the New Testament is contained in the Old Testament. That's where the Jewish people who have the Old Testament, they never can explain the Bible. Because they lack the New Testament. Now look in chapter 28 of Matthew, the very last chapter. And look in verse 19 You see there whom God was talking to in Genesis 1:26. The Bible said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do you see it? The Trinity, we call it. There is no word Trinity in the Bible. There is the three personalities of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if you read the Bible, you read in verse 2, in chapter 2 of the book of Psalms, that God talks to the Son. You read in chapter 5 in Acts that God talked to the Holy Spirit. They talk. They have a ruling board in heaven by the name God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The same God in three persons. And they talk to each other. And so there was no human being when the universe was done, because it was done prior to man. Man came at the end. So verse 1 in Genesis refutes atheism because the universe was created by God. Refutes pantheism because God is transcendent to what he had created. See, when God creates something, you see it. When God creates in you a new heart, you see it. If I make you a Christian, you come in and go, you know. I saw a lot of people in South America when I visited. One man told me, I do not believe in God and we don't believe the Bible. I'm a Catholic, he said. Oh, poor, poor Catholic. What's your name of your priest, please? Let me tell you, priest, that's not what the Catholic Church believes. It believes in God. But there are people who are like that. They become a believer by themselves. And so that's not the way you become a Christian. God makes you a Christian. You read the Bible, said the Bible, and faith is created. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And so therefore, God creates in you a new heart, see? But man always trying to do, no, I have to do it. No, you don't have to do it. You don't have to pray. You don't have to dance. You don't have to jump. You don't have to do anything. You read the Bible and you come to the conclusion, this is what God said. Isn't it fantastic? So this is Genesis 1:1, as I said, is very important. Refuse humanism because God was alone when he created. One more. I have 10 more minutes. Verse 1. Refuse evolution because God created all things. God did not create the monkey and watch the monkey to see what the monkey had done. Now let me tell you, I love dogs. So I went to Costco here in Gilroy. My wife is looking for some food. She knows, I said, you find me in the books section. I got two books, one on horses, I love, and one on dogs. And I said to somebody, you know, I'm a foreigner, will you help me to understand what this book says? And I said, ¿qué dice? No, they came in and tried to help this poor guy. And so I look in the book, and I said, I want to know how a dog became a dog. So what do you want to know about a dog? I want to know where they came from. Oh, he said, they must be here. And so we look on it. He said, might be at the beginning. We look at the beginning. Oh, the dog came from an amphibian. He said, do you believe that? I said, no. He said, well, that's what they said. These are very important people. Who are very important people? Who wrote this book? Where did he study? Do you know this man? He said, I don't know this man. How can you believe somebody you don't know? He said, well, let's see the horse. Where the horse come in? So we look at the horse. I got a guy excited. He said, ¿qué confusión? I said, and then, you know, confusion. I said, oh, qué confusión, mamma mia. And very soon I have four or five people over there and looking to help me where the horse came in. They can't find where the horse came in. The horse came in from something like this. And I said, what about the zebra? Who put the marks on the zebra? He said, well, there must be a horse that was born wrong. Well, I said, all the horses were wrong? He said, yeah. He said, well, is anybody could help me? Maybe an employee will help. So I went to the employee. I was dressed, you know, like blue jeans. I need to know where the horse came in. So who cares where the horse came in? That's what happened. Who cares? And so somebody tells you. Don't let anybody tell you. Let God tell you. He created all things. Verse 1 said, he created. Now, carefully now. The word I was showing Brother Plika, my Bible in Hebrew here, Bereshit bara. He looked on it and I don't know what he thought about it, but bara. You don't find that word again.
Bara, he created. Now, Russell can make made many things. Brother Donald can make this building so beautiful as he does and go around. And I watched him trying to match the colors. And he made the matching color, made the matching color. But listen carefully. The word used here is bara. Bara means call into existence that which have not existence. And it's explained that word in Romans 4:17. Let's go. If I pass a little bit of the time, that's all right. Former Romans 4 and verse 17. Romans in the New Testament. You see Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans 4:17. Look at what Paul says. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. See, when God said, let's make a man, he already knew what he's going to do. He don't have to go to a class in anatomy to find out how to make a man. Now, I'm going to shock you more. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. In verse 3, there you find out how God made everything. Hebrews 11, 3. Actually, there you find out how you can understand it. Hebrews 11, 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things we do appear. You got it? My definition then of bara, God called into existence that which have not existence, is correct, because that's what Paul said and that's what the book of Hebrews says. When God said, let's make a cow, there was no cow, no flesh, nothing. He made the cow. I don't know why he made ants, but he made ants. My wife hates the spiders, but I said, God made it. Take it away. Man can make things. And God used another word, the word asa, A-S-A, two line, S, asa, asa. Asa is what you made, form things. That's another word. And man, form things, yastar, another word. Making consists of organizing already existing material into more complex system. But in the other hand, the act of creation is that of a speaking into existence something whose material have no previous existence except in the mind and in the power of God. Did you see that? I can see it in salvation. I have no idea of God. Oh, my mama believed in God. My father did not. My grandmother believed in God. You hear me that? My whole family believe in God, but my father said, there is no God. So I said, there is no God. And I went into soccer sports and all kinds of studies in universities and became big in my mind. And I said, there is no God. Until God pushed the finger on me. And said, now you believe. That's power. Now the $4 million question. I say that in South America in my preaching. Remember, I preach like that. Now the $4 million question, everybody wants like that. $4 million. God or chance? I say to a young fellow, do you think that horse became a horse by chance? They don't know what the word chance means. That's what happened with Satan. They people do not study to read. They don't read the dictionaries and so on. And this is the work of Satan. People do not read. You don't have to go to school. Just read. Get informed on it. Is God a chance? The Bible answered that question with two answers. Answer number one is in Psalm 14, verse 1, page 347. Psalm 14, verse 1. God a chance? Psalm 14, verse 1 answered that, page 347. Look at what the answer is. The fool saith in his heart, There is no God. I'm not talking about being Catholic or being Baptist or whatever religion you want to. I'm not talking about that. You know, this church is not about being this and the other. I want you to know God and to know Christ. The fool said in his heart, there is no God. I was a fool. I said to my mama, there is no God. I said to my grandmother, the church is for old people. Now I'm an old people, I'm in church. All right. God a chance. Answer number one. The fool say in his heart, there is no God. Answer number two. Luke Gospel chapter 18, verse 13. Page 614 in your Bible. If you're using the Bible in the pew, it's page 614. Luke Gospel, chapter 18, verse 13. Here is an accountant. And I'm not talking about a little fellow. He's an IRS inspector. The word publican, there are five in the Bible. They were all IRS inspectors. Look at what the Bible says. Answer number two to the question, God or chance. And the IRS inspector, standing afar off, will not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but a smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful unto me. Two answers. God a chance. Answer number one, the fool say in his heart, there is no God. Answer number two, God. Be merciful unto me. Now the $4 million question. What is your answer? What is your answer? Lord, thank you that we just look in one word in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. And as we look upon God and as we look upon the word created, we rejoice together that many of us have come to believe in this God. Father, I don't want the people to believe me. I want to believe you. And I pray that everybody here in the radio and KKMC and the internet ministry, they are listening now, and the CD ministry that is made after the service is over, and the tape ministry, I want people to check this out and to read the Bible. Because the Bible will make them wise. Thank you, Father, for your Bible. In Jesus we thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
much. Will you stand, please, for the benediction? I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad you're listening. If you have any questions, as Greg, my associate pastor, has said, you write your question at question@bethelmorninghill.org. Father, thank you, and we believe in you. Thank you, Father, that you one day move us to repentance so that we got that book, the Bible. We read it, and we believe it. Lord, thank you for giving us that faith. And thank you for making us smart and knowing what is right and what is wrong. Thank you, Lord. Protect the young people. Give them a desire to read your book, the Bible, every day. Even to play a cassette with the Bible. We'll fill our head with your knowledge. And then we'll understand what people said. Above all, Father, help us to believe that we have a spiritual life. Not only just this body, but a spiritual life. And that spiritual life is accountable to you. Give us faith to believe that Jesus paid the price for our sin, so that we have a guarantee going into heaven. Not the church guarantee, but your guarantee, as we believe in Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.